Thanks for taking a moment to listen to the product from readorlisten.com, a subset of Developers Hangout, where we take a moment to read tech-related articles so that you can listen to them while you're working, driving, or exercising. What do you? All right, enjoy. Hey, this is my first article written by someone else. He's really well-known in the BDD community, in this case PHP, but it definitely applies to many of the other communities. His name is Konstantin Kudryashov, otherwise known as Everzet, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced the last name there. It's a really long article, but it's a really good one, and it really challenged me on how I use the BHAT tool, how I use Gherkin, and how I approach projects from a more BDD domain-driven design mixed into one. So this is, again, really long. Let's see how it goes. I think one thing about this article is you listen to it, you'll read it. It takes a few reads, maybe a few listens. It's a good concept that's worth getting, and it took me a number of reads to really get it and a number of times to try and get it and come back and read it again. Introducing Modeling by Example is the name. It's from October 3rd, 2014. For the last year, I have been experimenting with a new approach to a behavior-driven development, which could be summarized as ubiquitous language is a thing again. The core premise of this approach is that if you take ubiquitous language seriously and push for it in your scenarios, you open the door to doing domain-driven design while you're doing behavior-driven development's red-green refactor cycle. By embedding ubiquitous language in your scenarios naturally become your domain model, which you can use to develop the most important part of your application, a core domain. End-to-end testing. End-to-end automation is the most common way of using Gherkin-based BDD tools. The first thing people think about when they see Gherkin is, I can test my website with this. Nowadays, we know that this is not the only way to use these tools. Matt Wayne has a brilliant article about this. You can indeed use your scenarios written in Gherkin to drive implementations of the lower level layers of your application. But even if you take the approach of avoiding end-to-end, your choice is still binary. You either drive your core domain with your scenarios, or you drive the interface. That is until you start treating the feature as a driver for the different layers of your application. What if you can use the same feature to develop the different layers of the application separately? Not only can you avoid going end-to-end when you're doing BDD, there is a way to test your application at multiple levels using the same behavioral examples. And as controversial as it sounds, this will make a lot of sense when you really dig into it. Ubiquitous language. For a long time, we have been preaching this. Now, he shows here an example of a Gherkin scenario. In the scenarios, your typically written scenario. Scenario showing delivery cost for a product on the basket page. And then it has your very DOM-like syntax. And I am on /catalog. When I click buy in the white marker product block, and I go to basket. So very DOM-oriented. All right, so now going back to the article. For a long time, we have been preaching this, and it is a bad Gherkin scenario. Scenario should be written closer to this style. Now to quote, scenario, getting the delivery cost for a single product under 10 pounds. Given a product named White Marker and a price of 5 pounds was added to the catalog, when I add the White Marker product from the catalog to the picked up basket, then the overall basket price should be 9 pounds. But why is that? We mostly give two reasons for choosing the second version over the first one. One, there is practically no business information in the first scenario. It describes how you plan to implement the feature, not what behavior you're supporting with it. Two, the first scenario also locks you to a very specific implementation of your feature. A particular web UI, making the scenario very fragile and open to constant modifications. I want to focus on the third reason, ubiquitous language, which is the language the team and the stakeholders create together in order to talk about business problems. It is one of the two most important concepts in BDD, and the first scenario does not represent or use ubiquitous language, while the second one does. The reason ubiquitous language is so important is because we generally have an issue called the cost of translation. The business uses language natural to the business to describe their requirements. We then translate these requirements into a language developers can understand, and developers then translate it even further into code. We have two layers of indirection here, and it costs our industry money. Incorrect translations are the primary cause of features that damage businesses instead of helping them. In recent years, our industry has started to actively research for a solution to reduce the cost of translation at different levels. The most prominent example are the BDD, behavior-driven development, and DDD, domain-driven development, communities, which focus on minimizing or even eliminating translation costs using ubiquitous language. The difference is that they focus on different layers. BDD focuses primarily on eliminating translation costs in conversations, while DDD focuses primarily on eliminating translation costs in the code. What if we actually stop separating these efforts? Let's reiterate. Having ubiquitous language not only helps you to facilitate conversation, but also model your core domain in a language both you and your business can understand. Imagine a case where developers can discuss a purely technical problem using language that allows the business not only to understand them, but to correct them and fully take part in the conversation. I genuinely believe that for some time the general BDD community has focused too much on the benefits of conversation about requirements and almost completely ignoring the benefits of modeling the domain of the business. BDD scenarios as a domain model. Let's look at what technically happens when you write a scenario like this. And he goes on to write some code, which is a scenario like I read earlier. Scenario, getting the delivery cost for a single product under 10 pounds, given a product name white marker and priced 5 pounds was added to the catalog. When I add the white marker product from the catalog to the picked up basket, then the overall prices should be 9 pounds. End code. First of all, you and your entire team is getting a clear understanding of the business concept behind the user story you're developing. But even more importantly, you're also getting a choice at which level to start implementing this feature. Yes, you still go through the web interface using a web crawler, but what if instead you decide to develop the domain core first? There's a growing interest in layered and hexagonal architecture across the industry. Developers are starting to realize that mixing the problem and solution space is not the best way to design a product. The most effective way to enforce an architecture where the domain is separate from the infrastructure is to build these layers in separation from each other. What if we decide to use the same feature to drive the different layers of your application separately? Designing the core domain using scenarios. As soon as we have discussed and captured our feature and at the point of implementing it, we can then use any Gherkin-enabled BDD tool like Cucumber, Behat, or SpecFlow. However, instead of going through the UI in a classical end-to-end approach, what if instead we went directly through the core domain? As soon as you run your BDD test tool, it'll generate the first step for you. For this article, I'll use PHP as my language of choice and Behat as my tool of choice. Let's look at our first step. And then he has a code example annotation. At given a product name and priced pound price was added to the catalog. Method, then the next line, public function and the method name, a product named and price was added to the catalog. And two variables are passed in, name, comma, price. And code. Now here's an interesting question. What code should we write in this step definition? In the case of an end-to-end approach, we'd write web crawler code that mimics the conversation between the web user and the website we're building. When using a core domain approach, we'd write code that reflects the language the stakeholder used to describe his needs. Simply put, we would try to make our code as close as technically possible to the conversation we had. In our case, we just mimic whatever the step says as closely as the underlying program language shows us. So now there's code inside of that method. variable a product equals product :: named and priced with parentheses named and price. So he's passing into this new class with its method the variables that were passed into that original step. And then after that line, there's this arrow catalog arrow add, and then in parentheses a product, which we just made above. End code. All we have done here is repeat what was stated in the conversation using ubiquitous language with the code. A product name ... and price ... goes into, or is the same as saying, value a product equals product named and priced name price. ... was added to catalog, which we wrote as this catalog add a product. What is a product? It is an as yet non-existent class you need to create as part of the red-green refactor loop. What is this catalog? It looks like an infrastructure boundary that we do not want to care about right now. Thus, we'll just go with in-memory catalog in our context constructor. So then he has a code example. He has the constructor of this class. And this class right now just has a this catalog, which equals new in-memory catalog. End code. You then run BDD testing tool and do whatever you tend to do in order to make it green by describing, test driving, specifying, and implementing classes and objects. And so he goes into the next code example. Let me back up. How easy was that? It's almost like we clearly modeled the domain without actually talking about the modeling. Surely this is a contrived example. Let's look at the second step. Start code with annotation. When I add the name product from the catalog to be picked to the picked up basket. End to annotations. And then the method name is public function. I add the product from the catalog to my basket name. And the code in there is variable basket equals basket, class basket. Pickup is the method, and then basket arrow add product from catalog name, which was the name of the product that the step passes in into this catalog. End code. Again, all we have done here is repeated whatever we stated in the scenario, with which on its own was just a clear reflection of the conversation we had with the key stakeholder. The picked up basket equals basket equals basket pickup. Add the ... product from the catalog to the picked up basket. Again, basket arrow add product from catalog. What is a basket? It is a non-existent class you need to create as part of your red-green refactor loop. The point I'm trying to make is that the fact it is easy to align your code to the scenarios written in the ubiquitous language is not a coincidence. It is a natural outcome of using shared language as a driver of your conversation in red-green refactor loop. As a matter of fact, that's exactly how Eric Evans discovers domain models, the process he calls walking through scenarios, and then he quotes Eric Evans. To cross-check all the decisions, we have to constantly step through scenarios to confirm that we have solved application problems effectively. Eric Evans, Domain-Driven Design, Tackling Complexity in the Heart of Software. End quote. For the last year, I've been working on different domains using the practice, and it has worked every single time. It doesn't matter if you're describing e-commerce, a chess tournament system, a conference planning tool, or even a cargo shipping utility. Examples written in ubiquitous language always align with the core domain you're developing. Designing the UI using scenarios. When we're done with the core domain and our application works as our scenarios require to, we can start thinking about the next steps. It could be the case that we've decided to go forward further and implement even more scenarios or features purely on the domain layer, no UI or infrastructure. Alternatively, you could decide that now is the time to move on to actually exposing the developed behavior through the interface. It is important to note that the way I look at infrastructure when doing modeling by example is very different to the common perspective of being an important part of the application. For me, infrastructure is just a way to make a scenario pass, but only the scenario that fails because of the lack of infrastructure. I will introduce a user interface whenever I want a user to interact with a domain core, but I will introduce infrastructure only when a scenario step fails because there is no way to carry data from one user interaction from between user interactions. Infrastructure is a tool, not a goal on its own. The way I approach UI implementation is that I choose one or two scenarios, not all of them, and tag them with at critical or at core tag. And then he shows a code example. The scenario I read above now has a tag at critical. End quote. End code. Then I create a separate context object, world parentheses world and cucumber and parentheses, that will have the same step definitions as the previous domain focused context, but the implementation meaning of these steps will change. The way it goes is you don't care how data gets into the system, so your given step definition of the UI context will usually repeat the step definition of the domain context one-to-one, at least at the beginning of the red-green refactor loop. And then he repeats the code example from above, hasn't changed anything, with a product named and price was added to the catalog. End code. When you hit your first UI-based when step, so that's the name of the step, it's when, it begins with when, is when you will actually need to simulate the user interaction using Capybara, Mink, or any other web crawler. This is where you simulate a user actually going through the web interface, doing an action. And then he has another quote, code section. Now, this is like before. It's the same method he had above for the when step, when I add the name product from the catalog to the picked up basket. Now, he goes through the code example, but in this case, the code between the function is the normal steps for crawling the DOM. This visit products, product equals this find CSS, products li contains name that was passed in, product click add to basket. End code. As soon as you hit this step, your tool will complain there's no products page or route in your app. As soon as you fix that problem, you'll have another message saying that the .products element is not found on the page. As soon as you update your template to actually print the products in the catalog, you get an exception that li containing name is not on the page. This is your first infrastructure problem. Your given step adds products to the catalog, but the catalog is not persistent across the processes. This is why you add a persistence layer, not because every app should have MySQL connection. So you go and update the given and when steps accordingly and implement the application through the process trying to make it green. This process goes on until your scenario becomes green, and as soon as it does, you have a working and tested domain core and UI. Even more importantly than that, you have a lot of very fast acceptance tests because they're not using the UI or infrastructure, and only a small fraction of slow smoke tests that cover the core or critical journeys. Shorter feedback loops. The most obvious benefit of this approach is the fact that we have drastically decreased our feedback loop. Instead of starting from scratch and trying to implement a full stack solution with the domain core, infrastructure, and UI in one scenario implementation stage, parentheses, that might take ages, parentheses, we break this one big task into two. We took away everything that is not related to the core business problem solution, thus decreasing the time from an empty project folder to a working solution that we can iterate on. I have even had examples where the product owner was positively impressed with the fact that he can see a feature working just after just a couple of hours, even without UI or infrastructure. This allows you to start iterating on a solution much faster than you usually would, where everybody waits for you to establish a database, a web, and UI infrastructures. Domain and scenarios evolving together. Another interesting side effect of using scenarios as a domain model and pushing them straight to the code is the fact that your code and scenarios start evolving together. of that just recently. We worked on a feature for the conference organization domain. We missed the important concept that a conference has an identity, its name. That caused some struggle during the UI building phase. It turns out it is extremely hard to persist or load things without identity. We had a chat with the product owner and discovered that the reason things didn't fit together is because we missed that very important domain concept. It wasn't a technical concept. It was a consequence of the fact that we missed the conference names in our conversation and examples. We then went back and added the missing concept to the scenarios, which forced us to do a small and very quick refactoring in the domain core, at which point the struggle just went away. Things started to fit together again. Infrastructure leakage. Speaking of the infrastructure phase, there's one benefit that I didn't mention in the previous sections, identifying what I call the infrastructure leakage. The reason why I didn't mention so far, it is because in order to get this benefit, you need to use BHAT, a PHP Cucumber alternative. Since the release of version 3, BHAT allows you to find suites, which are a way to tell BHAT, test these features with these step definitions. You can even tell BHAT to run same feature through different step definitions. And then he goes into a code example where he has a BHAT.yaml configuration file. Default, suites, domain, context, basket context, UI, context, web basket context, filters, tags at critical. So the code is showing that you can have a domain context with that class and a UI context with that class, and then only hitting the scenarios that are tagged at critical. When BHAT is executed, all suites will be run. The benefit of testing both the domain and the UI layers at the same time is that you can detect when the infrastructure starts interfering with or damaging your domain core, hence infrastructure leakage. A couple of months ago, I did some internal training at our company, and we used modeling by example with the same domain I have described here, adding products to a basket. We implemented domain core first, which, as you can imagine, was rather easy, and we then switched to the UI. As soon as the team hit the missing infrastructure failure, they started to implement the UI. One of the trainees applied the active record pattern directly to the basket object. As soon as he ran his test suites, an interesting thing happened. His next step in his UI-based suite started passing, but the domain-based suite that had been green for the last hour started to fail. This was because basket started to persist itself when the domain core didn't expect that to happen. The infrastructure detail had successfully leaked into the domain core, damaging it, and the test highlighted it to us. We've always said that Cucumber, BHAT, and SpecFlow are more design than testing tools, and I think this is one of the best examples why. Not using BHAT, push Aslak, Matt, and Julian to add suites to Cucumber. In the meantime, you just can do two completely separate testing environments and make sure you are regularly running both. In conclusion, in all, after using this practice for almost a year now, this was written in 2014, I'm still surprised by how well it works, and I'm still discovering amazing benefits and side effects of developing applications through tight, example-based conversations in ubiquitous languages. The practice didn't seem much at the beginning, but over time has transformed into something much bigger, and I have a feeling that I'm just getting started with it. Last week, me, Marcelo, and Chiron conducted our first one-day modeling by example workshop at the Symphony Live UK. I think it was amazing. I'm looking forward to the spreading of the word about it through conference speaking or, who knows, maybe even writing a book. Exciting times. And in that last paragraph, by the way, and this is me talking, not him, he does reference that Symphony Live, so maybe there's a good video there. In this article, again, it's just a great read over and over again. Try it. Read again, try it, read again, and get it down. All right, thanks for hanging in to that rather long read. Your feedback would be appreciated on this because maybe I'll keep the read shorter if this one didn't work. But anyways, and thanks to Constantine for letting me do this.